Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to On the Ball with Rick Bucher. Here's your host.
Let's send it over to Rick Bucher.
Rick Bucher.
This is On the Ball on the United WeCast Network, and I am Rick Bucher. You can see me on FS1, hear me on Fox Sports Radio, and you can now read me on foxsports.com and the Fox Sports app. You can also follow me on both Twitter and Instagram at Rick Bucher. I'm a lot of places. But there's only one place you can hear me talking about story angles and perspectives that you are not likely to find anywhere else, primarily but not exclusively involving the NBA. And that is here. So much for that streak of delivering on promised topics. As much as I'd like to give you insight on why the Philadelphia 76ers are still struggling despite the return of Joel Embiid, or why the Atlanta Hawks, despite being on a roll of late, are still 12-10 and don't look as good as you'd expect a team that went to the conference finals last year and pretty much stayed intact would be, or if the Washington Wizards can maintain their status as one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, I have to address what's going on with the Portland Trail Blazers. Because as disappointing as it is to see John Wall, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons be ambivalent about playing in the NBA, and I'd include Goran Dragic, but until I can rule out that family issues are not driving his agreement with the Raptors that he's not going to play for them, I'll hold off. With all that, it's just as distressing to see an entire franchise put on ice, and that's where the Portland Trail Blazers find themselves. The Neil Olshey investigation it's been nearly a month now, with a widening scope as of 3 weeks ago. And yet, what have we heard? Nothing but that he swears a lot. Seriously, what are we talking about? Comedians swear a lot. Players swear a lot. Coaches swear a lot. GMs aren't allowed to swear. That's now part of work protocol. In professional sports? Are you kidding me? I'm also going to push back on the idea that Olshey hasn't done a good job in Portland. He proved himself to be an outstanding GM with the work he did running the Clippers. Lob City was his creation. Since when did the Clippers steal stars interested in coming to LA from the Lakers? That's exactly what Olshey did in landing Chris Paul. And where exactly were the Clippers before he came along? And let's be clear, this is Portland we're talking about. I personally love the place, but I'm from a river town myself, so driving into downtown Portland and crossing the Willamette reminds me of going home to Cincinnati and crossing the Ohio. I love coffee, athletic gear, good food, eccentricity, and being able to walk around and pay no state tax to experience all that, which is what I can do when I'm in Portland. Stop comparing their degree of success to the Warriors or Lakers or even Rockets or Suns, although they'd actually compare pretty favorably to the last two over the last 9 years. Put them in the category of Charlotte, Sacramento, Indianapolis, Oklahoma City, San Antonio. Because that's what Portland is as far as a market that free agents are interested in playing in. I saw a report that said the Blazers are attempting to improve on four first-round playoff exits in the last 5 years. Way to put a convenient negative spin on making the playoffs 5 years in a row. And that streak is actually 8 in a row, but way too convenient to not mention that. And that 1 year in the last 5, they didn't bow out in the first round, and they went to the conference finals. Way to skip over that. And way to go not mentioning that the streak of 8 playoff appearances in a row was all under Olshay, who has been with the Blazers 9 years. You know how many times the Hornets have been to the playoffs in the last 9 years? Twice. You know how many times they've been bounced in the first round? Twice. What about Sacramento? Do I even need to ask? The Kings haven't been to the playoffs in the last 15 years. Seems to me they could use someone swearing and making some demands. The Pacers? Ah, now we have a decent comparison. They've been to the playoffs 7 times in the last 9 years. They've also had 5 consecutive first-round exits. And they couldn't convince either of their incumbent stars, Paul George or Victor Oladipo, to stay with the franchise. So, good, but still not as good as Portland. And if you're looking for a type A personality, look no further than Pacers GM Kevin Pritchard, who doesn't tolerate fools any more than Olshay does. Even if Olshay isn't your cup of tea, or you think he should have found a way to put more around Damian Lillard, then put him out of his misery. Fire him and move on. This month of limbo isn't helping anyone. In fact, it's doing damage to everyone. For Olshay, seriously hurts his chance of being a GM anywhere else. And there have been teams in the past that have been interested in interviewing him, and the Blazers said no. I don't know if Olshay has the wherewithal to make deals at this point. It would be too early to pull the trigger on anything anyway, but my guess is he couldn't even if he wanted to. But the conversations about potential deals would normally be percolating at this point, what with December 15th just around the corner, the day when a lot of contracts signed in the offseason become eligible to be moved. If I'm the GM of another team and I know Neil can't do anything, am I calling him? Probably not. Or if I am, it's only after I've explored my other options.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Despite the Blazers' consistent success, it does feel as if the team needs a shakeup. I'm not arguing that. Locking up Norman Powell was good, and I understand why they brought in Larry Nance Jr. as a rim-protecting athletic big who can defend the pick-and-roll better than Yusuf Nurkic and requires about 100 degrees less maintenance as far as touches and shots. I applauded the move and thought it was a sneaky good one considering the price in a 3-team deal with Chicago and Cleveland, Derek Jones Jr. and a conditional first-round pick being the price. I originally had high hopes for Jones as a 3-and-D wing when he arrived in Portland from Miami, thinking he had another level to go to. But it would appear that he's flatlined. He's struggling to get minutes with the Bulls as much as he did with the Blazers. Leaving Miami wasn't a get-out-of-jail card. It was a there's a reason the Heat moved on from him alert. Nance hasn't delivered as I had expected either, and when I told a scout that, he pointed out that Nance, for the most part, has got his numbers, which per minute look fairly impressive, as a backup on bad teams, except for the half season he spent on a Cavs squad that went to the finals. Maybe it should have been a tip-off to me that I don't remember him at all on that squad, even though he averaged 20 minutes a game in the playoffs. The idea of Larry Nance Jr. is proving to be a lot better than the reality. And I'll say, The Blazers aren't the first to find that out. I don't know what it is with Nurkic. Maybe it's the effect of the devastating injuries that have cut short his last three seasons, reducing what he's able to do physically, or maybe it's the reluctance to extend himself for fear of suffering another catastrophic injury. All I know is he plays with a caution that is so far removed from the Nurk who showed up from Denver, breathing fire and eager to prove the Nuggets traded the wrong big man in moving him and building around Nikola Jokic. Nuggets look awfully smart for that move, I will admit. Nurk looks reluctant, or maybe unable, to jump the way he once did, laying the ball up around the rim rather than dunking it with authority. It's clearly affected him defensively as well, and that's probably where he hurts the Blazers the most. He hasn't come close in the last 4 years to the 101 rating he put up his first full season as a Blazer. I was stunned to check his age and see that he's still only 27 years old, because he plays like someone at least 5 years older than that. With all that, I'm amused by the suggestion that, suggestions from elsewhere, that it's time for the Blazers to start over, to rebuild, particularly when it's suggested that moving Lillard should be part of it. Anyone who suggests that doesn't understand the dynamics of a market like Portland. Falling into the lottery hole in a place that has to pay premium just to get good free agents risks never getting out of it, along with being really expensive. Look at what that did for the Philadelphia 76ers. For all their asset collecting, they haven't even gone as far as the conference finals, and they had to pay top dollar to keep together what they have. Or see Sacramento as an even more noteworthy cautionary tale, especially with the future of the Blazers' ownership up in the air. Do the critics really think a year of losses like the 114-83 drumming they just suffered at the hands of the San Antonio Spurs is the answer? And we're talking about the San Antonio Spurs. Look at the struggle San Antonio, another small market challenged franchise, is having putting together an above average team without a bona fide star. It's one thing to move Kawhi Leonard, or in the case of Indy, Paul George, when they tire of being in an out-of-the-way place. It's another to move a star that has pledged allegiance to you in spite of the challenges presented. If you're Portland, you certainly don't invite the idea. You don't entertain the idea that you or Lillard would be better served parting ways. This idea that Portland is somehow failing if it isn't competing for a title and should play the all-or-none game as a result is, well, how do I put this delicately? Really stupid. They are solidly in the bottom half of the league as far as markets go, and yet they've consistently been among the top half when it comes to overall success and competitiveness. Maybe it's the latter, that success and competitiveness, that has made people forget exactly where they are, which is in Portland. Now, as I said, with all that, I do feel like a major shakeup is needed. A core piece needs to be moved. CJ McCollum, Nurk, Anfernee Simons. A combination of CJ or Anfernee with Nurkic, if necessary. Although I wouldn't want to move both CJ and Anfernee, to be clear, unless it brought back perennial all-star, potential all-star. Ideally, either a dominant small forward or power forward. Nurk and CJ for Miles Turner and Caris LeVert from the Pacers. The numbers work if the Pacers are ready to shake things up, seeing as they appear to need some fresh blood as well. And maybe some would see it as a lateral move. I see it as a potential benefit for both Portland and Indiana. Nothing can happen, of course, until the situation with Olshay is resolved. And then there's the question of who the Blazers are putting in his place. It's not as if Portland is a prime destination for GMs either. There's a reason that they extended Olshay as soon as he got them to the conference finals and paid premium. And the way they've handled the Olshea situation doesn't make the job any more attractive. Not if yelling and cursing are grounds for an investigation. Olshea isn't being accused of being misogynistic or racist, and yet he's being thrown in the same camp as Danny Ferry and Dennis Lindsay, and based on everything I know and everything that has been reported, there's no way he merits that. Why are the voices that griped Olshea is wasting the prime years of a talent like Lillard, that locking up Norman Powell and acquiring Cody Zeller and Nance was far too little, not upset that ownership is making it impossible to do anything else, that by keeping Olshea in limbo, that they're actually moving the franchise backward, just in the hope they can squeeze down the money they owe him for the next 3 years? If they want to be the next iteration of the Sacramento Kings, they are doing a bang-up job of it. This isn't on Lillard, whose struggles this season are really not all that surprising after spending his summer winning gold in Tokyo. He has always been exacting about how he spends his summers preparing for the NBA grind, and surely this summer was a departure from that. It isn't on Olshea either. Whatever you think about the moves that he's made, or the hiring of Chauncey Billups as a head coach, or Olshea's general method of operation, it worked well enough to satisfy Lillard, to convince him that he shouldn't go ring chasing and instead stick it out in Portland. And clearly, there were plenty of people out there that were trying to convince Lillard otherwise, including LeBron James. This is on Jody Allen, the owner, who inherited the team from her brother, Paul Allen, the late Paul Allen, and on whoever is advising her. This is about understanding the location of the team she inherited, the assets that are already in place, and the thin line between being a perennial playoff team, as the Blazers have been, and one that spends the better part of every season with its eyes turned toward the draft in June, and praying that they get lucky enough to land another Lillard-type talent. A Lillard-type leader, a Lillard-type easy-to-root-for face of the franchise. They don't come along every year. In some cases, they don't come along for years. All right, that does it for this episode of On the Ball on the United WeCast Network. Please rate and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. The Philadelphia subject is still out there. The Hawks subject is as well, along with the Washington Wizards. But I'm feeling as if I need to dive in with the, as I mentioned, the prospect of trades becoming part of the news here in the not-too-distant future, to look at some of the proposed trades, particularly when it comes to the Warriors. There's some pretty crazy ones out there, and if I can't propose some better ones, I'll at least break down why the ones that we're hearing so far don't make a whole lot of sense. In the meantime, as always, thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.